Buenos días.
Good morning and welcome. Estamos agradecidos que estén aquí en el servicio hoy domingo en la iglesia College Mennonite. Mi nombre es Madeline Maldonado y soy uno de los pastores de esta congregación. Esta mañana nos reunimos para juntos adorar al Dios que hizo el cielo, la tierra y todo lo que está en ellos y los guarda para siempre. También les quiero dar la bienvenida a ustedes que se unen a nosotros a través de los diferentes medios de tecnología. My name is Madeline Maldonado, for those of you who don't know me. I am one of the pastors here at College Mennonite Church, and we are grateful that you are joining us this morning, this Sunday, beautiful rainy morning, here at College Mennonite Church. We gather to worship together the God who created the heavens, the earth, and everything that is in it, and forever he cares for them. Welcome to those of you who join us through the different methods of technology. Will you stand and join me in prayer and followed by the prayer, the call to worship? Awesome and wonderful Lord, thank you for allowing us to be present in this space. Receive our praise and worship as a gift to you. Speak to our hearts and minds this morning. In Jesus' name, we pray. Join me in the call to worship. Seek God, and you will live. Busca a Dios, y vivirás. Seek the one who makes the seven stars and Orion, who turns the shadow of death into morning and makes the day dark with night, who calls the waters of the sea and pours them out upon the face of the earth. Dios es su nombre.
Please remain standing for our first two hymns, the first in the blue hymnal, number 46. I sing the mighty power of God, number 46. And in the green, sing the journey book, number 8, Somos Pueblo que Camina. We will sing the first verse in Spanish, then the first English, second Spanish, second English. It's on the screen if you get confused looking in your book.
I like the songs projected because I'm one of those people who gets really lost in the hymnal. So I would like to sing most of the time, but I'm usually on one verse and you guys are in another. This morning, I would like for you to join me in the prayers of the people. My heart language is Spanish, although my first language is English. My husband and I pastored for 27 years. For about 20 of those years, it was Spanish only. And that's how I learned to read the Bible and understand most of it was only in Spanish. And this morning, I was going to pray the prayers of the people in Spanish, but at times some people have said, we would like to understand what you're saying, and could you project it on the screen? And I thought, well, that's kind of hard to read it if your eyes are closed while you're praying. So this morning, I decided to say the prayers of the people in English. So bear with me if sometimes I pronounce something wrong. Join me in prayer. God of wonders, this morning we as a people gather together and we pray. We thank you for the gift of life that we this morning have. Please guide us so that we may use it in the way that you have intended. We thank you for those who were able to attend this weekend's Creation Care Retreat. Thank you for Daniel, for his life, and the passion that he has to teach others the importance of caring for your creation. Be with him and them this morning, and also bring them home safe this day. We also rejoice and we thank you for the safe arrival of Clayton and Allie Miller's twin boys, the grandsons of Sue Neeb and Galen Miller. We also place in your care Elaine Schrock, who fell at home and broke her hip on Wednesday. She had a successful surgery on Thursday and is now undergoing physical rehabilitation. Please give her a quick recovery and give her quick healing. Give her the strength that she needs to endure the rehab, and also give Dan peace and encouragement that you are with them. We also place in your care Janet Yoder, who was admitted to Goshen Hospital Thursday evening and had surgery early Friday morning. She is in ICU for several days. And although we are not able to visit her yet, we continue to pray for a quick recovery and healing. We also pray, Lord, for Merle Knofziger, who underwent successful heart bypass surgery on Monday at Elkhart General Hospital. As he continues to recover, we pray that you are with him and that his healing is also quick. We pray for Dan Steiner, whose sister-in-law Sue Clemmer Steiner passed away on Monday in Kitchener, Ontario. Be with them and their families. Also for Derek Klopfenstein's family, as they remember him and honor his life this afternoon. This morning, our hearts are once again saddened by the continued violence in our country. We pray for those who were injured at the football game in Alabama, and the ones also injured, and those who lost their loved ones in the shootings this weekend in West Texas at the hands of someone distraught with access to a gun. Have mercy, O Lord. We also pray for those in the path of this storm Dorian. May they heed to warnings and evacuate when told to do so. I also pray, Lord, for those families who are still not together, who were separated at the border. So many children who are still not with their parents. There's so much need in our country, so much need for peace, so much need for mental health, so much need for immigration justice. I pray that you give us, Lord, the church, the voice to speak into justice for just systems, the voice to speak to those who are hurting and have nowhere to go and have no access so that they can be helped. Give us the courage to stand up for what's right. Give us the courage so that we may be a present light in our neighborhoods, so that this world that's around us can really see the light of your church. That's what you called us to be. I pray that you help us. And I thank you for everything and everyone that you have guided to do your will. And for those of us who are willing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please turn in your purple songbook, Sing the Story, to number 116. We'll sing the first verse as the children come down for the children's story. Well, good morning. There aren't many of us here today, are there? If you want to move forward, you can. And good morning to everyone out there, too. Okay, so this morning I brought something to share. But unfortunately, I only have two bowls. So I would like everyone here to stand up. Can you all stand up? Okay, now how am I going to decide who to give the bowls to? Talasha and Pamela, can you stand up, please? That might help me make my decision. Okay. Yep, definitely I should give the bowls of grapes to Talasha and Pamela because they're the adults. They're bigger. They know more. I think they deserve it because they've probably worked a lot longer and harder than the rest of you. So that's a fair way to decide, isn't it? No. Who should get it? No? How should I decide, Malachi? What would be a good way to decide who should get the bowls? But how should we decide so that everyone could get some? What should we do?
Yeah, Alice. Okay, so, oh, that's a good idea. I hadn't thought about that. So, like, if Pamela and Talasha walked around and offered some to everyone, oh, that's a good idea. Would you mind walking around and offering some to everyone? Okay, you can sit down. Take some grapes, and you can sit down. Okay. Who, when we talk about our brothers and sisters, who do we mean? Who do we mean are our brothers and sisters? Alice, who's your sister? Do you have any other sisters? Who are your other sisters?
I only have one.
You have one more sister, don't you? Yeah. How about you, Zeph? Who are our brothers and sisters? You've got your mouth full now. There's your brother, right. But when we talk about the church, and we say someone is our brother or our sister, who are we talking about? Malachi, who are we talking about if we talk about the church? Everyone, right? The people sitting in here. And sometimes we talk about people who aren't in the church as our brothers and sisters, right? We're all created by God. And God wants all of us to be brothers and sisters to each other. So I refer to people who live in my neighborhood is my brothers and sisters. They're my Goshen brothers and sisters. Do we have Goshen brothers and sisters at your schools? Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about in your neighborhood? Yeah, we do. They're all our brothers and sisters. Now, does it matter how much money they make? Does it matter how much money they make? Are they still our brothers and sisters? How about where they live? Does it matter? How about what language they speak? Does it matter? How about if they've made some pretty big mistakes? What if someone's been really mean to you? Or what if it's an adult who's broken the law? Are they still our brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. Wow, that's a hard one. Does it matter how tall they are or how old they are? No, it doesn't matter. That's Alice's night. Yeah, that's right. She's older than you. But you're equally important in the eyes of God, aren't you? Right. Okay. So, just like you learned earlier, we need to share. And if we're willing to share, guess what? There's enough. If we're willing to share, there's enough. What are some ways that we can share? We can share our money at church, can't we? Or with other organizations that help people? We can take food to places like The Window in downtown Goshen, and we can share with people there. And will you still have enough in your cupboards at home if you share? Yeah, you'll still have enough. Okay. So, one way that our family has decided to share with others is that we have a place called the Love Shack, and you can see Zeph standing up there by the Love Shack. Okay? And we feel like we can show God's love to our brothers and sisters of Goshen by sharing food with them. And not just food, but other things too. So, the sign in the window of the Love Shack says, take what you need and share what you're able. Okay? And you know that oftentimes people will come and they'll take food out of the Love Shack, but then different days, they'll come and they'll put food in the Love Shack. The same people. So maybe one day, on Monday, they might not have enough in their cupboards. But on Thursday, they might make a trip to the window in downtown Goshen. And then they have enough. And they feel like they want to give back to people. So they might put something in the Love Shack. Or someone might give something to them and they put something in the Love Shack. So people who put things in the Love Shack aren't just people from our church. But it's people who live in my neighborhood, too, put things in the Love Shack. So it's pretty cool to see that. We have children who come to the Love Shack, and we have adults who come to the Love Shack. Yesterday, I saw a family go by. They had a stroller and a toddler walking with them, and they opened the Love Shack. So we have lots of different people who come and use the Love Shack. You can see Simon and Elliot there. They come and put things into the Love Shack. Okay, so let's talk about some of the examples, because people have asked me, what are some things we can put in the Love Shack? So can you guys think of things that could go in the Love Shack? We try to put healthy things into the Love Shack because we feel like probably a lot of people's lives are already filled with things that aren't so good for them. So we try to put healthy things, ingredients into the Love Shack. So you see we have bread, we have a zucchini from our garden, we have beans, we have peppers, tomatoes, corn. Sometimes we'll put with the loaf of bread, we'll put in some peanut butter and jam so that people can have peanut butter and jam sandwiches. Sometimes we put in cereal. I know Zeph has put in some yummy kinds of cereal before, right, Zeph? Yeah, you got to choose them. Sometimes we put ingredients so that people can cook at their stove and make things from scratch. We'll put in things even as simple as salt or some spices.
Like cinnamon.
We have put in cinnamon before, Alice. That's right. Baking soda, baking powder, and then sometimes we put in chocolate chips and butter so that people can make chocolate chip cookies. We put in the ingredients to bake things. So these are just examples of things that you could bring to the Love Shack if you wanted to share what you have. Do you have an idea of something you could bring? We have put in eggs. Yes, that's a great idea. And we've put in eggs before. Sometimes people get worried, like, what if they go bad? But we watch the Love Shack really carefully. And if stuff stays in too long, then we make sure that someone gets it. Okay? And guess what? Actually, nothing stays in there very long. Within usually an hour or 2 hours, pretty much the stuff is gone. And the nice thing that I see is that when people come, they don't take everything. They just take a few things. So it's nice that people come and they think of others when they're coming and they don't take everything. In fact, they kind of watch each other, I think, sometimes and make sure that they're not taking everything. Okay, so I invite you, if you would like with your families, to share what you have. Because remember, even when we share, if I shared a piece of bread with each of you here, would I still have enough? Yeah, I would still have enough. So let's remember to share with others this week and as we go through the year. And if you would like to, you can come with your family and you can put things in the Love Shack anytime, any time of day you can put things in there. Okay? Thank you and have a good morning. Let's pray together quickly before we go back to our seats, okay? All right. Dear God, we thank you so much for giving us enough. We thank you for the produce from our gardens. We thank you for the flowers that grow. We thank you for the money that we make at work. And we ask that you remind us that we need to share with others, that you call us to share with others. Please be with everyone this week and help us to do the job of sharing with others. Amen. Okay, you can get your worship bags and go back to your seats. You can grab a couple more grapes if you'd like before you go.
And while they're going back to their seats, please turn to your green hymnal, Sing the Journey, to As Rain from the Clouds, number 40 from the green hymnal.
Thank you.
This morning, our speaker is Talasha Kaim-Yoder, and I promise not to kiss her. But I promise to give her a hug. Oh, I think I got stuck on something. Let us pray for her. Señor mi Dios, en esta mañana te presento a Talasha. Te doy gracias por la vida de ella, por lo que tú has puesto en su corazón y en su mente para compartir con nosotros su pueblo esta mañana. Te pido que tú le des las palabras que nosotros necesitamos escuchar, las palabras que necesitan entrar en nuestra mente y en nuestro corazón para continuar siendo buenos creyentes. Te doy gracias nuevamente. En el nombre de tu Hijo Jesús. Amén. Blessings.
In the beginning, the earth was chaos. It was formless, a void. It was covered in darkness and swirling waters. And then, God's breath, God's spirit, swept over the face of the deep and separated out the darkness from the light and the waters from the earth. And God the Creator pulled form from the soil and created all the animals, including the humans. And God set into motion an orderly and peaceful relationship between all of the humans and the animals and the earth and God. And God said, that's very good. And God rested. God created order out of chaos. And now we live in an orderly world. When I said that to my sons, they laughed. Because it's not true, is it? We live in a tumultuous world. It's always been that way. 50 years ago was 1969. Now, I was not alive in 1969, but I have known about 1969 for quite some time. It was a big year. The summer of 1969 is such a touchstone in U.S. history that many, many, many songs and plays and books and musicals and movies have been written about 1969. In ways both good and bad, that year altered the course of U.S. history. Here are just a few headlines from the three summer months. U.S. troops began to withdraw from Vietnam. Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. Groundwork was rolling for the beginning of the internet, which would debut in its primitive form later that year. There's a little music festival held near Woodstock, New York. A river in Ohio caught fire because of pollution. The Manson murders happened in California. And the Stonewall Rebellion in New York signaled the beginnings of the gay rights movement. Those are a few headlines from the United States. And now, my children's memories from this current time of chaos will probably include things like the burning Amazon, startlingly rapid climate change, the Me Too movement, the Black Lives Matter movement, mass shootings, routine active shooter drills at school. They'll remember family separation at the U.S. border. And they will remember an empathetic fear for our friends whose families aren't able to be documented, who live in fear every day. To name a few headlines in the United States. And like 50 years ago, some of these disruptions are good things, the beginnings of greater justice to come. But good or bad, the world feels chaotic, So how do we reconcile this? God created order out of chaos, and it was good. And we live in chaos. Here's another story of a time of chaos. This one's about some people of God. And these people of God knew their story. They recited their story. After becoming slaves in Egypt, God had sent Moses to lead them. And God had delivered them from slavery and led them through the wilderness and brought them to Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey. And in this land of plenty, the Hebrew people grew. They grew in number. They grew in power. Then they wanted a king. And God said, bad idea, but okay. So they got a king. And there was some rough stuff that happened, but for about 500 years, there was more or less a monarchy. That's longer than the United States has been around. And while things got a little rough sometimes, this was the land God had brought them to, so they felt fairly secure that this was just how life was going to remain forever. And then, the capital of their kingdom was captured. Their kingdom, their home, was taken over by Babylon. Families were pulled apart. Some were exiled to Babylon. And their livelihoods were taken away, and their homes were taken away. And the physical place where they had gone to find God's presence, where they had worshiped God, where they believed God's presence lived, their temple, was destroyed. Order collapsed, and chaos reigned. And it was sometime in this chaosy time that scholars believe today's psalm was sung. So listen to Psalm 65 with all of this story in mind. Praise is due to you, O God in Zion. To you shall vows be performed, O you who answer prayer. To all flesh, to you all flesh shall come. When deeds of iniquity overwhelm us, you forgive our transgressions. Happy are those whom you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. By awesome deeds you answer us with deliverance, O God of our salvation. You are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. By your strength you established the mountains. You are girded with might. You silence the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples. Those who live at earth's farthest bounds are awed by your signs. You make the gateways of the morning and evening shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the people with grain, so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with richness. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. It's kind of remarkable. In a time of security being taken away, of being exiled from their home and their place of worship, the people were singing about coming to God's holy temple. They're singing about God's deliverance. They proclaim that God is the hope of all the ends of the earth and the farthest seas. The song echoes the work of God creating order out of chaos in creation. So at this time of chaos, the people of God are proclaiming the security and the stability of God's peaceful reign. How do they do that? Well, they know something about God, and they know something about creation. At creation, there were forces that God needed to tame before God could create a safe and secure world. And those forces continue to reassert themselves. They continue to rear their ugly heads. So the people of God know that God's work of creating order out of chaos is not just one and done. It's continuous. And they've got some security in knowing that, unlike those Babylonian gods they're hearing so much about, who are unruly and always fighting among themselves and creating chaos, these people serve Yahweh, a sovereign God who doesn't have any other gods to fight with, and is always moving the trajectory of history toward a better world. These people know that they serve a liberating God. It's interesting to note how much of this psalm is not just of the natural world, but of the political world. If you look at verses 7 and 8, you silence the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples. Those who live at earth's farthest bounds are awed by your signs. You make the gateways of the morning and the evening shout for joy. The natural and the political worlds are all in need of God's calming, reconciling influence. So this liberating God who silences not just the roaring seas and the tumultuous people is, it turns out, a hands-on God who tends the earth. What do we ask when bad things happen? Our family has a story about when Zeph was 2 years old and he fell down and cried out, "Where are you, God?" Yeah, some of us have kind of trained ourselves to not say it out loud. But we think that, don't we? And it's okay. And maybe it would be better if we just say it out loud. That's an okay question to ask, and God wants to hear it. Because then God can say, "Right here, here I am." God is right here. According to this psalm, God visits the earth and waters it and softens it and blesses it and harvests its fruit. In the midst of chaos, God is right here, taming the chaos and tending to creation. God, the farmer in this passage, harvests the year's bounty. And there's so much that it spills off the wagon. I like that mental picture of God taking this wagon of produce down a track, and there's so much in this wagon that it just keeps spilling off the sides. God responds to the people's basic needs with a big overflowing wagon of food. And when God attends to that basic need, the people are able to follow God out of chaos. In the midst of all this national identity upheaval, God doesn't show up as a political leader. God shows up as a farmer. In June, the Growing Roots class asked Joel Pontius to lead us on a foraging expedition. If you don't know Joel, get to know him. He's a professor of sustainability at Mary Lee and a part of this congregation. Joel began by asking us to think about our spiritual practices. So we named some pretty typical ones, like praying and reading the Bible, and then some less typical ones, like seeing the world through the eyes of our children or daily ritual tasks. Well, it turns out that Joel's favorite spiritual practice is foraging. And that is something that I don't often see on lists of spiritual practices. Joel describes foraging as the process of finding edible plants, fungi, and other foods that grow on their own accord. He says, A kind of relational intimacy with landscape, God, and the more than human is part of what I am foraging for. Joel explained to us how foraging requires us to slow down. It's really hard to forage from a car or from a bike or on your run. You really need a nice leisurely stroll. It forces us to be aware of our surroundings and to be curious. He also mentioned the communal aspect of foraging. He introduced the 101% rule. If you are not 101% that you can eat that berry, you need to triple check. And one of those checks of your triple check needs to be another human being. So once we'd established all of this, we went on a foraging expedition around the College Mennonite Church parking lot. We sampled, just on the perimeter, dandelion, wood sorrel, lamb's quarters, mulberries, service berries, and cattails. Possibly some others that I don't remember. After our little feast, we debriefed. People were surprised at how spiritual the experience was. We talked about a new understanding of how it is that creation glorifies God. We also mentioned that it gave us an opportunity to be curious and to try new things. And the biggest thing that came up was that this helped us to understand the way that the earth was made to sustain life. We now saw all of these things not as pesky weeds that needed to be tamed, but as God the farmer providing sustenance for the earth. This was an experience of coming into God's presence quietly and thoughtfully and playfully. We were loaded up with our baggage, like, what if I eat a bug? And we were ignorant, but we were ready to encounter God. And in the midst of the chaos that was June in our daily lives, we got a glimpse of God's ordered world. We literally tasted God's goodness. God the farmer that day gifted us with a parking lot potluck. The beginning of Psalm 65 suggests coming restfully into the waiting presence of God, to whom our praise is due, just waiting for that praise to come. And it suggests that we can come loaded up with all our baggage. So when we're overwhelmed by the chaos of life, we get to step in with all our baggage to the waiting presence of God. And there, we will meet a God who brings us near to dwell with God. God the Creator continues to bring order out of the chaos that reasserts itself. God the Liberator continues to move the trajectory of this world toward one of justice and peace. God the farmer intimately attends us, blesses us, feeds us, and takes joy in the fruit that we bear. Take a deep breath in and out. It's not rhetorical. Breathe in and out. God is here. Breathe in, God. Breathe out the chaos. One more time, breathe in. And breathe out. God is the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas.
Thank you, Talasha, for all those thoughts and images that we will take with us into next week. To respond to Talasha's words, please turn to Sing the Journey, the green hymnal number 97. The Lord is my light, number 97.
Oh,
At this time, we will be collecting the offering. For those of you who are not able to come up to the baskets, there will be children and ushers that will help you. And also, today is birthday offering collection, so you may bring that forward also.
Join in prayer. God, we breathe in your goodness. Tame our hearts and our spirits when we are overwhelmed by the chaos of life and bring us into your presence. Thank you for the gift of generosity and the generosity of this congregation. Use our gifts in a way that serves your kingdom, your world. In Jesus' name, amen.
For our closing hymn, I invite you to turn to number 546 in the blue hymnal or follow the screen. I also invite you to keep some sort of percussion part either on your body or in your feet or on the benches in front of you. The pews make wonderful drums as we march ourselves out today. And everyone go ahead and sing the leader part together in unison.
I believe, I believe. I have to tell you, that's one of my favorite songs. And I want to just stomp around in the whole sanctuary. Before we leave, I have an announcement. Today is the beginning of the new Sunday school year. Everyone is invited to the Memorial Garden at 11:40 for a prayer blessing. Today, as you leave this place of worship, may you have peace in your heart, and may you also act out peace. Go in peace. Blessings.